Welcome to Mining Stock Daily, produced by Clear Creek Digital and Investment Research Dynamics Mining Stock Journal. And despite being on hiatus this month, I wanted to share with you an interview I conducted with David Cole, CEO of EMX Royalty. EMX is traded on the TSX Venture and the NYSE American under the symbol EMX. EMX is a partner of Clear Creek Digital, and I do own shares in the company, but I wanted to air this conversation on Mining Stock Daily because David goes into great depth about building the company, the challenges he found in the early years, lessons he learned along the way, and the goals of EMX going into 2019. David also speaks highly about the royalty in place at the Timok area of Serbia, which he finds quite exciting, and he tells you why. So without further ado, we will get into the conversation. With me is David Cole, CEO, Director, and President of EMX Royalty Corp. EMX is traded with the symbol EMX, both in Canada and the U.S. Dave, how are you today? Thank you for joining us.
Trevor, I'm doing super well. Thank you.
So, EMX has had a number of achievements over the last couple months, but I think it's nice to kind of take a step back once in a while and remember where we came from. And so I really want to ask you a few questions about the beginnings of EMX, which were Eurasian Minerals. So can you take our listeners on a little bit of a journey? How did EMX begin, and how did you take it from this conceptual idea to actual operations?
I've got a lot of passion wrapped around that subject, so it's a fun subject to talk about. But, I worked for Newmont Mining Corporation at the pointy end of the stick, creating value around the world through the exploration process. Did enough mine geology to know what it was like and got exposed to a number of different geological environments around the world, and I got exposed to different business models within the exploration space. Left Newmont after 18 years to pursue my passion, which is the value creation through the discovery process. Mm-hmm. And after having analyzed the industry for 18 years and seen some folks destroy capital, other folks do very well for their investors and shareholders and themselves, I really zeroed in on three aspects of the business that I thought were particularly astute methodology with respect to the allocation of capital. And they revolve around royalties. And specifically, there was a gentleman called Lyle Campbell back in the old prospecting days in Nevada. And he was a claimant, large claimant in Nevada. And he was very successful at finding mineral systems. But of course, he didn't have the capital to build mines. He didn't want to build mines. His forte was finding mineral systems. And he would sell those off and keep royalties. And I saw him do that successfully over time. And in our nomenclature in today's world, we call that the prospect generation business model, focused on royalty aspect of the deal. And we've been focused on that from the beginning at EMX Royalty Corporation, previously Eurasian Minerals, as an early stage prospect generator 15 years ago, acquiring large tracts of prospective mineral rights. We started to expand the venues of where we were operating. Initially, we were working in Serbia, which has been very, 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 very successful for us. And I'll tell you the Serbia story later today, I hope. Mm-hmm. But so we focused on that aspect of acquiring lots of mineral rights, adding value by building baseline economic geologic models, and then selling those mineral rights on where we keep various payments and work commitments in the ground and royalties on the back end.
Okay.
And that's a great, a creative way to build a portfolio of royalties. Mm-hmm. And I call it the Lyle Campbell model, but it's, the prospect generation business model focused on royalty generation over time. Yeah. And that's why we have the tagline, the royalty generator. And to augment that portfolio of royalties that we build organically, I also, in my career early on, saw some huge successes. The largest one that I can think of right off the top of my head is Pierre Lassonde buying the Gold Strike royalty out of the Reno Gazette Journal. Believe it or not, there was royalty on the Gold Strike mine, now operated by Barrick, on the Carlin Trend, one of the larger mines in North America, gold mines.
It's a classified ad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a classified ad in the Reno Gazette Journal. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And Pierre bought that very astutely, and he built a company with that. And so and I love the idea of buying royalties, particularly when you can find them fairly priced, which is difficult. And I like that very much. So we feel it's quite a powerful model to not only generate them through the organic process, but also to buy the occasional royalty when you can find one that is attractively priced. Yeah. And one of the huge value drivers determining what a royalty ultimately is worth and how much it'll pay is the a clear understanding of the economic geologic potential. What's the probability of greater discovery over time, resulting in more production over time, which benefits the royalty holder. And so bringing these two together, I think, is particularly powerful. And that sets us apart from other royalty companies. Most royalty companies just buy royalties. And that can be a very tough business because these royalties tend to trade at a premium. And one of the reasons why, or two of the reasons why they trade at a premium, is because of that exploration optionality over time, typically at no cost to the royalty holder. And also commodity price exposure, commodity optionality, as commodity prices tend over the long term, you know, to go up as fiat currencies decrease in value. And, of course, that's quite cyclical, and it can go in either direction. But over the long haul, that commodity price optionality has value as well. And so those two embedded aspects in the royalty valuation formula really drive a premium price for the sale of those assets. Sure. And so it's tough to buy royalties and build a portfolio in an accretive manner over time. But I believe that the integration of the organic side and the acquisition side is pretty powerful. And there's a couple of key royalties that we've been able to buy in our portfolio that demonstrate that, in my opinion. Sure. And then the third aspect of our business also is based upon an early observation that I made, and that is that when folks have what I call the drill and build business model, where you're focusing on a prospective piece of mineral rights and you're putting a lot of money in the ground drilling with the aim to build a resource and then ultimately a reserve. If it's the right property and you're executing on the ground in the right way, that can be a big win. And I choose not to run a drill and build company. That's not the way I want to execute it. But in the process of being out in the field around the world with astute economic geologists, we occasionally come across someone that has a drill and build. They're focused on a good piece of ground, and we think they're executing really well. And in those cases, we are willing to make strategic investments and buy corporate equity in those companies. And we have a very, very, very good track record in EMX of having made 12 strategic investments in our 15-year history, 9 of which have been profitable. A couple of them have been very, very nicely profitable.
Yeah.
And one of those was the sale of Momish project, which just occurred, that has, you know, bumped up our treasury and put us in a situation where we have over $60 million to make today, and a few more million coming in next year from that sale. So it's based, I'm glad you asked to go back in time. These three prongs of the business model are based upon my observations early in my career, where I saw people that really made money for their investors. And in an industry that unfortunately has a fairly poor track record of capital allocation. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of examples of that, and we don't need to go into those details. Yeah. But I think that's it. I think that answers your question in a nutshell.
Well, so before EMX, I was just curious, when you were at Newmont, what was your position at Newmont before you left?
Yeah. So, you know, I started off as a field geologist putting soil in bags and walking around the deserts of Nevada, et cetera. And then, you know, can just continued on through that exploration process. And definitely my roots were in field geology. And my education is a bachelor's degree in geology and a master's degree with an area of specialization of economic geology. Uh-huh. And I've always been very, very, very interested in the geology of gold systems and also other metal systems. And came up through the Newmont School of Mines, if you will, mm-hmm. working around the world, working in Indonesia, China, Peru, the Western United States, Eastern Europe, Turkey, exploring the regions of the world, and just super passionate about the value creation through the discovery process.
Okay. So what happened during that time when you kind of converted this idea of maybe going out on your own and what would become EMX, right? You know, was there a certain kind of philosophical change or a way you wanted to do business, something you thought you could offer something better to shareholders? you know, what was it that really allowed you the gumption, I guess, to go out there on your own?
I think the catalyst was a meeting with Rick Rule. So I started to develop entrepreneurial ideas about executing the prospect generation business model in different regions of the world where I saw opportunity. Initially, I was most excited about Turkey, which has turned out very nicely for us. And it was through a series of meetings with Rick Rule, who's a passionate believer in the prospect generation business model as well. And of course, he had the ability to write checks and to back folks like myself that have this passionate dream. And it was after a couple of meetings with Rick, and I realized this is what I want to do. I want to create value for shareholders by executing the prospect generation business model and in our own unique way of applying that model globally.
Yeah. So were you a one-man band when you first got started, or did you bring others with you?
I was one-man band when I first got started, but very quickly put on some super good talent.
Yeah.
And probably over the long haul, the best thing I have done is engage the smartest folks that I can into the company. And they're just the folks that I have the opportunity to work with are incredibly intelligent and well-experienced. And it's humbling to have the opportunity to work with them. They're really a great team.
Yeah. So you mentioned something earlier about entrepreneurship. And I've actually heard other people, when they speak of EMX geologists and people, you know, employed in the company, how they are some of the most entrepreneurial people you will ever see in the junior mining industry, right? Why is entrepreneurship incredibly important for you and your staff at this point?
Well, that's how we create value for our shareholders. That's the passion that we're looking for when we engage contributors. And it is entirely aligned with that enthusiasm of hiking over the next hill and finding that fantastic outcrop that's going to lead to the billion-dollar discovery, right? There's nothing more entrepreneurial at its basic level than going out and prospecting, right? Utilizing your geological talent to follow a structure, to look for the area of mineralization, and to knock off that lump of rock with a chunk of gold in it or a beautiful copper showing that really gets the juices flowing. Right. It is almost one with the concept of entrepreneurialism.
Right. And part of entrepreneurialism is rolling with the punches, right? Knowing that you're going to have more failures than you will have successes. So that leads into my next question, you know,
yes.
What were some of your earliest challenges and toughest lessons you learned when you were building EMX?
So the challenge of managing the expenditures for international travel, for putting yourselves into environments where it can be complicated to navigate the laws and the rules of the land of various countries where we started working, for example, Serbia. We had to help the Serbian government rewrite their mining legislation. We had to help them rewrite their concession legislation. That was not easy. Managing all aspects of the commercial side of the business, which involves a lot of attorneys who charge a lot of money, and figuring out how to do that in a manner that you're comfortable with the outcome without breaking the bank. Those were some of the biggest challenges initially, and they remain challenges for us today in terms of ongoing management of the company.
So how about some of the success? What was maybe the first success as the leader of EMX where you kind of sat back and said, oh my God, my goodness, this is great. This is the first big achievement.
So I can think of two, actually. So one, we had been working hard in Serbia. We became the first foreign company to be granted exploration licenses in Serbia in over 40 years. We helped the Serbian government rewrite their mining and concession legislation. We opened the door for foreign investment in Serbia. It's a region that had historically a substantial endowment of copper and gold in the Timok magmatic complex and other mineral systems within the country. And we were successful in acquiring exploration licenses. But it was tough. It was tough going. And we found it very hard to execute the other half of the business, which is getting things sold. Because the part and parcel to the prospect generation business model, you can't just acquire stuff. You've got to get them sold. And so I very quickly learned that you need to focus on the marketing aspect. You need to be able to bring in the major company or the well-funded junior company that has enough shared vision with respect to the exploration potential of a project that you control. Want to do a deal with you, getting that deal done. And quite honestly, I thought that things were going fairly poorly initially in Serbia. And ultimately, I was able to get a deal done where we got cash and shares in Reservoir Capital at the time, that roughly equated to the amount of money that we'd spent on all the projects to date, plus we had a royalty on the back end. And I thought, gee whiz, you know, if this is one that was hard to execute and we've pretty much broken even, plus we have a royalty on the upside, this is a good business. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the first sort of transformative events that clicked in my head, and I learned a few lessons embedded in that. One is the importance of marketing and sales of the projects, and better, you know, fine-tuning of how the business should be executed.
Yeah.
And then the next one came in Turkey. We quickly went into Turkey. Turkey was the last place that I worked for Newmont Mining Corporation as the exploration manager of Turkey. And I always believe in the geologic potential there. And at that point in time, there was a lot of open ground, so we were able to stake and acquire exploration licenses over substantial areas of prospective mineral rights in Turkey and advance those. And that led to a regional strategic alliance with American Barrick Resources, Barrick. Mm-hmm. And we quickly got into a mineral system called Sisorta. And we were able to win the auction for Sisorta. It was an auctioned off property, a government auction. And that's a high sulfidation gold system that's still in our portfolio to this day. And we went forward and drilled some really nice holes in that property. And that was super exciting. It was really exciting to work with a great company such as Barrick. Barrick became a shareholder in the company and formed a regional strategic alliance with us. Mm. But back to your comment about failures, you know, as it turned out, this sort of looked like it was going to be a big discovery, turned out to be a fairly small one. Mm. And Barrick ended up giving it back to us, and we've been able to remarket and sell that project on, and it's in very capable hands right now and being developed as a small advancing gold deposit. And so there's multiple ways where we can skin the cat in this business model. But that was a very exciting moment when we picked up Sisorta and we drilled those nice drill holes initially.
Yeah. So I know there's a number of things that have happened, you know, since that point up until now. But for time's sake, I do want to just touch base real quickly on the recent achievement with the sale of Malmiche. You labeled it a transformation for the company. You know, other than the large sum of money that's now in the bank, how has it changed EMX over the past few months? And how do you leverage that achievement for future growth and shareholder value?
Well, it's changed EMX by putting more money in the bank.
Simple as that.
Very simple as that. And I will point out that the amount of cash that we have in the bank is roughly equivalent to all the money that we've raised in the history of the company. And at the same time, of course, we have a huge portfolio of mineral rights around the world and a whole host of different deals with major companies and junior companies. So we have all the money we've raised in the history of the company in the bank, in addition to a large portfolio, over 90 projects that we have exposure to worldwide, 45 royalties, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that's a clear demonstration of the viability of this combined business model. Mm-hmm. And with respect to the second part of the question, that is, you know, what are we going to do from here going forward, and how will that change? And the business model is not going to change. We love the business model as we've refined it and focused on it on those three prongs of strategic investing, buying the occasional royalty, and the solid organic growth that we focus on from the beginning. But now that we have $60 million in the bank and four more coming over the course of the next year from the sale of Malmiche, that gives us more arrows in the quiver to be able to acquire significant strategic investments that we think have excellent potential. We love big copper and gold systems. Mm-hmm. And also, very importantly, buy more cash flowing royalties. And buying cash flowing royalties and augmenting our top line cash flow from our royalty portfolio is a clear target and objective for us as we move into 19.
Okay. Anything more specific goal-wise with 2019 that you might be able to provide shareholders and our listeners?
We've been bouncing near cash flow neutrality with a small to medium-sized burn rate, $1 to $2 million a year burn rate, where we're investing a little bit more in our portfolio and the acquisition of mineral rights around the world and marketing of those mineral rights than we're bringing in from our cash flow and royalties. And in 19, we want to cross that barrier and become distinctly positive cash flow. And I believe that will result in a catalyst for repricing of our entire business.
Okay. You did mention quickly a little bit about Serbia, and I know Serbia is a quick, you know, it's a real hotbed for mineral exploration right now. I was unaware that you and Ian Max were involved in kind of the groundwork of getting that country kind of up and running with mineral exploration and mining once again. But what can you provide shareholders some more information about the project in Serbia and kind of how that's allocated right now?
What a fascinating story. And, you know, we did open the door for foreign investment in Serbia with our groundbreaking work there. And it's been very exciting to see what has happened subsequently. The company that we essentially founded through the vending out of our projects in Serbia, Reservoir, went on to make a fabulous discovery in the country. And it's one of the largest ever copper and gold discoveries in the history of Europe. In the Timok magmatic complex. People call it the Timok project. It's actually on the Brestovac license. And when we sold our licenses, we kept royalties. Mm-hmm. And that large discovery that was made by Reservoir and Freeport and subsequently has been sold to Nevsun, and now Nevsun is selling it to Xinjiang. That large discovery, as luck would have it, was just off our royalty boundary. It was not on our project, just off the boundary. Mm-hmm. But because we had our ear to the railroad track and we were following what was going on, because we're monitoring those royalties, which we grew organically through the prospect generation process, we were completely up to speed and understood the potential of the region. And some early drill results came out and we said, holy smokes, you know, we need to acquire the royalty that exists over that ground. And we went to the company that owned the royalty over that ground. They had a 0.5% royalty and said, we have other royalties in the district. We are keen to acquire more royalties in this region. Will you sell us that royalty? And make a long story short, we bought it. And we bought that royalty for $200,000 Canadian. And it's a flat out company maker. And we now have a royalty on the huge discovery. And we're very, very, very proud of that. That's a company making royalty embedded in our portfolio.
Did Nevsun put a resource out on that property yet?
So resources have been put out and pre-feasibility studies have been put out. And there are more advanced studies that have been published on the upper high sulfidation high-grade pipe that will be the initial small high-grade mining that will occur in the upper reaches of that deposit. Mm-hmm. And then the large, very large porphyry copper gold system at depth is still in the inferred resource category, but they are advancing that. I believe recently they had as many as 12 or 13 drill rigs operating on that property.
Very good. And I might add, for listeners interested in learning more about that property, they can visit the website, emxroyalty.com. You can find it under the asset portfolio page on the website. So, Dave, I don't want to take up too much of your time, so I appreciate everything, your insight, and telling us the story of EMX and kind of the goals you're looking to achieve moving forward. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we let you go?
Well, I believe that we're still quite undervalued, and our enterprise value, when you compare it to our market capitalization and you back out the cash in the bank, our enterprise value is still very low, despite the fact that the stock has gone up 3.5 times in the last 3 years. And I've been putting my money where my mouth is and buying stock. My trades are all reported.
Well, thank you, Dave. That is Dave Cole, CEO of EMX Royalty. EMX is traded on the TSX Venture and NYSE American with the symbol EMX. Dave, thank you so much for your time and have yourself a great day.
Thank you, Trevor.